You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of September 19, 2018, and I'm actually the human version of Georgette. Shock.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Justin.
And I'm Georgette Albor. George Albor.
Take off that crown. Oh. We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games, and we just had a Nintendo Direct.
We did indeed, yeah.
So we decided we'll do a quick recap of the things that we saw. We are growing closer and closer to the Doomsday Hour, which is the release of Smash Ultimate. We have to keep our wits about us and study up on all of the various characters that they're announcing. But there's also a bunch of other stuff that they announced with this thing for the rest of this year and into next year. So there's a lot of stuff to go through.
I have to say, I think I'm constantly interested in what they're announcing for the Switch, not just because I enjoy my Switch and I want to play more games on it, but I get a sense that like Nintendo's not convinced that they've made it yet or something. I don't know, maybe financially it hasn't. I mean, we saw the numbers last year, right? Like, they've done phenomenally well for themselves. But compared to something like the Wii, there's still a long way to go. Mm-hmm. So sort of knowing the pressure that's on their shoulders for the Nintendo Switch to not just be a success this year, but next year and the year after that and the year after that, I genuinely think that they're the most interesting company to watch right now because they're at this, like, weird point in the way that they talk about the console and in the way that increasingly developers are thinking about designing games for it, either like the larger games where they're actually streaming on the Switch now instead of downloading it because it can't render it, or the sheer number of indie games that people are putting out on the Switch and where I think they're finding a lot of success. I mean, even this past week, the beloved Bastion from Supergiant Games, their best game, arguably, came out on the Switch, and I'm probably going to pick it up and play it. So,
yeah,
interesting times for Nintendo.
Where do you want to start with the news? There's a fair amount of... Should we talk about the 3DS, actually?
I do want to talk a little bit about why the 3DS is still getting announcements. And I'm kind of... I'm glad that it is, because clearly there's like a user base that cares. What I kind of find...
We ran the numbers.
What I find fascinating, though, is... What is the crossover between the players who still own a 3DS and want games on the 3DS and don't own a Nintendo Switch but also watch Nintendo Direct?
And want new games. They just don't want to keep playing the same Yo-Kai Watch or Zelda or Mario Kart or whatever.
Exactly. I mean, how many of people are there? Like 10? 12?
I mean, I don't think I know which drawer my DS is in.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. And you know, the other thing I should say, having been through the release of a single trailer for a game at like Ubisoft, the amount of work that goes into a Nintendo Direct is probably very staggering. Like, I think they make it look easy, but there are a lot of announcements in every single Nintendo Direct. And every single one means that a corresponding website has to be updated, information has to be distributed, press releases have to be written up. Like, it is a lot of work. The fact that on top of all of the work that they're doing just for the Nintendo Switch, they're like, you know what? Let's also go ahead and talk about Yo-Kai Watch Blasters and like all these other like weird, you know, co-op mode for Luigi's Mansion, you know? Like, why would... It's just extra work, but they're still doing it.
Well, and also those... I mean, I think the direct format is interesting in that it's kind of... It's like the way that they structure late-night television or SNL these days, where everything is able to be edited into a YouTube clip.
Yeah, yeah.
And so everything is set up also. I mean, it probably, as cheesy as those announcements are, it is some work to write all that stuff because it has to fit into like a 3-minute YouTube-sized clip.
Yeah.
So it's just like an amazing amount of press for a system that is barely in active development anymore.
Now I can't stop imagining the announcer voice from SNL. It's like, Amiibo!
Musical guest, Wii Fit Trainer.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I always like seeing weird yokai games out there. I would like a yokai watch on the Switch, but you know, that is what it is.
Yep.
Let's talk about I don't know, anything else on DS stuff, or are we laying that one to rest?
I think we can lay that to rest, just like Nintendo should lay it to rest already. Jeez.
Burn, just like Luigi lays those ghosts to rest.
Luigi's Mansion 3 launching next year on the Nintendo Switch. That's very exciting.
There's a lot of cool 2019 stuff coming up for them. It was definitely their like future-looking direct.
I have a lot of fond memories of Luigi's Mansion because it was one of those games where when I went to a friend's house who actually had a Nintendo console and we hung out, we would often play, you know, we would play like... any of the Smash Brothers, we would play like Perfect Dark and various shooters that were out on Nintendo consoles. Luigi's Mansion was one of the games where we would take turns playing it and watching each other play it, and I had a great time.
Yeah. I think that was a launch game because I remember going to Toys R Us on the launch day of GameCube and buying GameCube.
Yeah.
And I bought one of those orange controllers that they had.
Yeah. Spoopy.
Yeah, and tried to convince myself that Luigi's Mansion was a masterpiece.
Maybe that's why I remember it so fondly. It was the first game on the console we could play.
Yeah.
So it was, of course it was exciting. It was like, oh my God, this new, look at the graphics.
I mean, the graphics were impressive at the time, but looking back on it now, it's very, it's a strange offshoot in the Mario universe. You know, it's this weird, almost Resident Evil-y style game.
Yeah. I mean, considering Luigi has been shit on time and again in every Nintendo Direct, it's about fucking time he got his own thing. You know, let him be the hero.
Was Luigi's Mansion 2 just on the DS?
I think so, yeah.
Huh. Because I definitely didn't play it. I don't know.
No, I don't know.
I don't even remember when it was released.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think, I guess maybe this is the... Because aren't they also doing like a update of it or something? Maybe that's the one that's only on the 3DS or something. But yeah, I mean, it'll be cool to see what they do with a Luigi's Mansion in 2019, because they've shown with like Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker that they could do interesting things in a platform like universe, but not specifically Mario.
Totally. And I think the whole Boo backdrop, I mean, even since the OG Mario, like, set makes for, I think, a really cool sort of theme.
Yeah.
And gives you opportunity to mess around with like time and space in really clever ways to makes for some really interesting puzzle solving. So yeah, I mean, genuinely, that's one of my more anticipated Switch games for next year.
How do you feel about Yoshi?
Yoshi. I mean, Yoshi's fine. I don't have that same endearment as the Weege.
You didn't think that? I really thought that Yoshi game looked cool. You didn't think that game looked cool?
I mean, it looks fine. I mean, I don't have anything against Yoshi. It just didn't, you know... trigger me in the same way as Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah, for some reason I remember thinking to myself as I was watching the direct, man, it's really been a long time since they said anything about that Yoshi game, and was kind of worried about it.
Yeah,
but it seems like they're actually going to get it together for next year.
Yeah, they're still working on it. Yeah,
I mean, it seems like I always missed the Super Nintendo mechanic of the eggs, you know, like throwing the eggs in that very targeted way.
Yeah.
And so I think it's cool that they seem to be going back to that a little bit.
I mean, you can get your fill in Smash by just spamming that attack against your friends.
Oh my God. Yoshi is one of the most annoying people to play against too.
He is. In fact, so we did I don't know if I told you this, we did a Smash tournament at work.
Oh, nice.
And it was I think it was a 36 person tournament.
Uh-huh.
And I came in second.
Oh, nice.
And I lost against Yoshi.
Oh, man.
I know.
Wait, who did you use for the most part?
So I used Corinne and Sheik were the two. Okay. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And Yoshi. You know, I am good at Smash. Like, I'm clearly at a point where I can say I'm good. But, man, that guy who plays Yoshi, he is better.
Was this Smash 4?
Yeah, it was Smash Wii U.
Oh, wait, Corinne, it had to be Smash 4, right?
Yeah, Smash Wii U, yep.
Oh, man. Yeah. Anyway, I think that's that sort of Yoshi game has the allure of something like Little Big Planet, but just with a, you know, with a focus more on the actual mechanics of the platform and the world.
Yep.
And I don't know. I just think it looks very cool. I think even, you know, the way that they're able to, from the video anyway, it seems like they're putting a lot of priority on the smoothness of the game. It looks very fluid. I don't know. I'm excited for that game.
Yeah, something to be excited for.
If you like idiots like Yoshi.
should we segue to Smash? I mean, I know we're a little early, but
yeah, let's talk about Smash.
There's a little bit of announcement. They announced Isabelle.
Yes.
A new character for Smash Brothers. That is another fucking Animal Crossing character, which I guess is fine. I mean, we only have the one, right? What's his name? Mr. Animal Villager. Crossing?
Yeah, the Villager.
Villager, correct. Villager. So I guess Isabelle was an NPC from Animal Crossing. I've never played an Animal Crossing game.
I've only played bits and pieces of them. I mean, I mean, honestly, you know, this is jumping ahead again, but, you know, the upcoming release of Animal Crossing for Switch means I'll probably play... This is the first one that I'll play in some earnestness.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, it's... I mean, this is the thing that we talked about before we started. We turned on the recording, but it is looking dangerously close to a situation where we're going to miss out on Professor Layton as part of the roster.
You know, we've been saying it for fucking years.
We really have.
We've been writing our letters. I don't think it's going to happen. I also think that we are so far from Professor Layton being on the tip of people's tongue as like an iconic Nintendo character that it's not going to happen. I think at this point, genuinely, who else do you think they could announce? Or what other Nintendo brand do you think that they'll announce a character from? Because I would guess they maybe have one or two characters they haven't announced for Smash yet, and that's it.
Yeah,
because you know, Sakurai
came
out.
Right?
Yeah, it's December. Sakurai came out and said, oh, I hope you're not sad, but we're not going to add too many characters, and here's a couple. Yeah. And they just did a Nintendo Direct. They only do one, once every couple months, 2 to 3 months?
Yeah.
So there'll be one more Nintendo Direct before Smash and then the Smash thing.
If that, I mean...
Yeah, if that. So I think the most optimistic would be like two new characters at the next Direct and then one at launch or one and one or just one or even... I don't think they'll
even
do none.
Nothing. Yeah.
I don't think they can end with Isabelle. It's not like the most exciting character to announce, but... I mean, really, like, who else? What else could... I mean, Epona? Like, Play as a horse. I don't know. Like, I just generally don't know. They've already added the Splatoon characters.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we could think about... I mean, there's always room for more Pokemon, because they just like throwing Pokemon in there.
But they added the Pokemon Trainer and all of the other Pokemon, and there's so many fucking Pokemon already in there.
That's true.
Although there's also so many Fire Emblem characters in there, and they keep adding those, so...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they could do...
What about like, Katamari Damacy?
Oh my gosh,
that would be amazing. Because they announced also an update to that game, which I'm very excited about. So
I would totally play that.
King of the Cosmos.
I wonder if they would get something, they would get another third party, you know, like Solid Snake or something.
Yeah.
They could do...
You know who I think is most likely from a third party perspective, actually, is Blizzard and Diablo. Because they already are so fast and loose with where the characters are in like HOTS and stuff.
That's interesting.
And they're doing the Diablo 3 Eternal Collection on the Switch. Like, doesn't that make sense?
So you can get like the Butcher in there or something like that.
Oh my God! Can you imagine? That'd be so savage.
They have the Street Fighter. They have Ryu in there.
I was thinking like Deckard Cain.
Yeah.
Or like Witch Doctor.
It seems like they could do something with. I don't like. Maybe they actually put a Dark Souls character in there.
God, that would be. Oh man, I'd be so hyped.
That would be your main, no matter what.
Oh,
even
no,
if
100%.
It was F tier, that would be your main.
But I mean, what are you gonna put in there though? Right, like the Dark Souls man. You know, like they don't have cool names. You'd have to put in other characters like Knight of Astora or something. But no one's gonna know the reference.
Yeah, all the plebes wouldn't know all of the cool. Yeah, I Layton. You know, Phoenix Wright maybe. Phoenix Wright could.
That would be fucking rad, actually. Yeah, that would be rad.
I could see that. But I mean, I feel like, you know, they've done stuff with, like, they did Bayonetta. I don't know. It really does feel like Professor Layton is a now shocking omission to a huge roster. You know, whatever, how many people there are, 70-something, whatever, characters.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm very excited about that game. Also, I think I think my GameCube adapter will work for that. So yeah. I can dock that when I'm at home.
Yeah, thankfully I already have one, so that'll be good. Although I'll probably have to buy a new Smash thing. Oh, what did you think of the Smash bundle, the way that it looks? I was a little disappointed, to be honest.
Well, because they just like etched the thing on the dock or whatever.
Which I think could be cool on the dock. Like, I think that's an elegant way of adding some flavor to the console without making it super flamboyant.
It was very reserved, and even on the controller side,
that's,
too.
See, that's my issue. I think that the controllers could have been way more interesting. Yeah. For example, I actually think that the Pikachu Eevee bundle for the Switch looks fucking great. Like, having Pikachu and Eevee on the back, the different colored but same similar like shades of yellow on the controllers, like, I think that's a really nice touch. So, yeah, I was a little bummed. I think it could have been a brighter, more powerful, like, I'm a Smash player statement.
I mean, it's funny. Smash is a funny thing to have custom controllers for, because anyone who's even remotely serious won't be playing it with those controllers anyway.
Yes.
It's a weird merchandise play when your core demographic is probably playing on a totally different input device regardless.
Yeah, very true.
I don't know. I'm very excited for that. But in order to play this thing online anyway, we're gonna need to shell out.
Oh god, yes.
The gravy train has ground to a halt.
That's right. No more free shit from Papa Nintendo.
No, it's time to fucking dig deep.
Well, slightly deep.
With 7 of your friends and come up with $5.
That's very true. The family plan for, what are they calling the servers? Nintendo Online?
Yeah.
Yeah. Family plan is $35 for 7 people for a year. So hot tip.
We're putting out the call now.
I mean, here's the thing. They don't even have to be friends. Yeah. Go to Reddit.
You can be enemies.
Make a Reddit post looking for 6 more people to go in on the family plan. You're good. So they announced the Nintendo Online service. Some people are angry, I think, for some justifiable reasons. Cloud saves aren't as easy as you would like them to be.
Mm-hmm.
If your service ever laps, they might delete all your files and go into your house and throw your console out the window.
It'd be a shame if this subscription here lapsed.
I think there's also a legitimate complaint from the people who, let's say there's a lot of people who play Splatoon 2. I think there's a legitimate reason to complain if they are avid community members of Splatoon 2, and then all of a sudden they have to start paying to play.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little unfortunate. I don't know. Maybe there could have been a way to, like, I don't know, grandfather in certain games. I don't know if that's possible. I don't know. It already seems
like not all games are going to require it. Like, I don't think Fortnite is going to require it.
Fortnite's just a weird beast.
I guess that's true.
You know, like, I haven't heard of any other game besides Fortnite that said that they would not require it to play online.
To me, that's almost more insulting, because they're willing to compromise their stance for a very specific game, which suggests that, I don't know, it destroys the idea that there's any sort of, like, broad-based technical or financial reason where it's like, no, if you're special enough, we'll just waive the rules for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. It's super weird.
It's kind of irritating.
Well, and then on top of that, even for cloud saves, there are many games where cloud saves will not be functional because of concerns about cheating in Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee and Splatoon and stuff like that. So
yeah,
that's kind of shitty.
I don't know. It will be interesting. Whatever. I've played Super Mario Brothers 3 a million times, but I will be intrigued to see what they do with that continuing back library, because they could do some very interesting things with it. And I think that could be secretly, that could be one of the coolest things about this whole service.
Well, you know, so as the Nintendo Direct that is taking place before the launch of this service, because I don't think we'll get another one before it goes live.
Yeah.
What is it later this month?
It goes live tomorrow, today,
yeah, tomorrow,
I guess.
Tomorrow. Yeah, yeah, yeah. By time of posting.
Yeah.
The older games that they showed that you can play were not compelling. Like, I was waiting for them to say Chrono Trigger, Earthbound, like Mother 1 and 2, like that, you know?
It's all NES games. It's not Super Nintendo.
Yeah, exactly. So there's honestly not a whole lot of titles that I'd be super jazzed to go play.
Mm.
I mean, at least that they announce. I'm sure the catalog will be growing and it'll be interesting to see what they add, but, you know, I expected them to come out of the gate pretty strong with the justification for this move towards like an online pay model, instead of having the like eShop or what have you, that they had before. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel like they really sort of flashed their cards when it comes to the game service.
But you can buy an NES controller
for $60.
Yeah.
I have to say, right off the bat, I love that these just slide into my Switch.
Awesome. It is very funny looking.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about charging it or buying a separate charging thing. It's not a cable that connects. That's cool. But $60? Nah.
I will also say something controversial now and say, I think the NES controller is a bad controller.
I mean, this was before ergonomics was in our common parlance.
It has goddamn corners on it. Come on, people.
Seriously. I've broken a television with that corner. You know what I mean? I don't want those things in my house. I'll get flashbacks before you know it.
That's a dangerous utility.
Holes in the wall like I did when I was 7.
Yeah, I mean, I could... My son might murder me with one of those things. It's freaking sharp.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a very strange... It's... I don't know. Who buys one of those for $60? It's kind of crazy to me.
I mean, honestly, just genuine nostalgia fans. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
I mean, I guess it's a better D-pad placement than the Switch.
That's actually a great point. Maybe I should buy a Pro controller. Have they fixed the D-pad on that yet?
Well, see, that's probably a better idea, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Switching topics, did you watch the early stage demo / video of Town?
No, I did not.
So it's an RPG by Game Freak, the makers of Pokemon.
Yep.
And it looks just like a new JRPG.
Do they have the skills to make a good one? I mean, I always talk shit about Pokemon, so.
I mean, maybe people love that Pokemon.
That's true. I do have to say, I like the name. Town. Done.
Well, actually, during the Switch or during the Direct, it was called Town, and in parentheses, working title.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I do remember this now. Yeah, that'll likely change.
They should just keep it.
Do you like that? Also, they announced Town right before Cities.
Yeah, where it's like, if you want something a little bigger, well...
if you want to scale up, City Skylines.
Did you ever play City Skylines?
I didn't, but I do know that it sold really well on the PC, so I imagine there's a really strong fan base that are super stoked by it.
If I'm recalling the timeline correctly, I think it came out around the time when the latest SimCity came out, and everyone was disappointed by that SimCity and was looking for a more traditional SimCity setup, and City Skylines came in and provided that.
Yeah. And Cities does a really good job of simulating like the energy grids and resource grids that like cities are made out of. So I know that it got a lot of praise for how like accurate and interesting managing those systems were. I also should say the Switch version comes with all of the DLC, of which there's a lot of content. Like that's a great way of dropping something as massive as a game like City Skylines onto the Switch, because like, man, if you were at all interested, you have access now to like so much content.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll do... I remember the version of SimCity on the Super Nintendo had... You know how you could start natural disasters?
Yeah,
you could call a monster that turned out to be Bowser into your...
That's fantastic.
...your city. They should do a couple Nintendo twists on it. That's a good idea.
My one concern is I have a hard time imagining controlling a game like that without a mouse.
Yeah.
Because it is a lot of micromanagement. And I guess there's the touch screen, so maybe it depends on how accurate and useful that is, but...
I mean, that UI is still very dense, so it'd be hard to make a touch interface above it, but I guess that's the price you pay.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about the Asmodee digital board game announcement.
I was just going to ask you about that. Yeah. So as the expert, what is the... What's the word on the street in the board game community? Like, is Asmodee looked at as a positive thing, as respected? Like, are they unknown? What's the deal here?
There are quite a few video game publishers that have gone into the digital space relatively recently. Fantasy Flight just announced their digital studio earlier this year. Asmodee's been in the space a little bit longer. They've actually had a digital arm releasing games on mobile platforms for quite a while now, including games like Carcassonne. And their games overwhelmingly are really nice on mobile. Their interface works really very well. Multiplayer is super seamless. So I think for the most part, people are excited. Carcassonne is a great game. You know, I think it's one of the most well-known Euro games out there.
I mean, it seems like the modern banner for a mature board game.
Yeah. They also announced Settlers of Catan and Munchkin in the near future, which, of course, are incredibly recognizable games. Yep. The Lord of the Rings living card game is kind of an interesting one that they announced as well. The living card game has a particular monetization model in that you buy packs to add to your collection, but it's not random. So it'll be interesting to see how they do that on the Switch. And then as far as Pandemic goes, Pandemic is one of the best games of all time, and it's one of my personal favorite games. I think it's awesome that it's coming to the Switch. The one thing that I'm bummed about is that it doesn't sound like they have online play for any of these games, at least at launch. Which is just kind of a weird thing, because I know they have it online for mobile. Yeah. So if you want to play Pandemic with multiple people, and you should, I mean, it is a cooperative board game that is best with four players, then you need to have everybody around a screen doing it locally.
Do you know if they officially sanctioned the Legacy, you know, Pandemic Legacy?
Asmodee? Yes, they did. Yeah. Yeah, it's fully, absolutely right. And in fact, if they were to release Pandemic Legacy on the Switch, that would be huge, because that is one of the best games ever made. It's one of the highest rated games. I think it's the highest rated game on Board Game Geek. But as a legacy game, it's really only something that you can play once, and it has a relatively steep price tag, even as far as board games go. So I think there's a lot of hesitancy from fans of Pandemic to potentially pick up something even as great as Pandemic Legacy. I think the idea of releasing some of those more like hot titles on the Switch, especially like years after release, like Pandemic would be, is a really good idea. And they also have Pandemic Legacy Season 2 that came out, I believe, early this year or late last year.
Okay.
And so if they're doing like a multiple seasons of these games, and they're doing more like legacy content and various types of releases, it feels like the Switch is actually a really good place to drop some board games, because if someone picks it up on the Switch and tries it and likes it, they might be more inclined to pick up the physical version as well.
It's also just that that medium gives that game new life if you really love it, where you probably won't buy multiple copies of Pandemic Legacy if you really love it, but you could definitely create a mode where, how many games do you have to play through Legacy? Is it like 10 or something like
it's
that?
It's 12 months, and each month can be played up to 2 times if you fail. So up to 24 games, but probably not.
It's so cool that you could say, like, okay, I'm going to start a Legacy campaign, and it just, you know, it locks you in, like, you can't go backwards in time. But you could always say, like, okay, now that I'm done, I'm going to, you know, it's like a long-term roguelike.
Yeah.
Where you can say, like, I'm going to start a new run, and it will scrub everything. It's like, okay, here's your new Legacy run.
Yep.
I don't know. That seems like a very complimentary thing that digital can do for a board game like that.
Well, and then on top of that, I think that there are a lot of board games that are actually really still quite interesting and fun as single player games, but I can speak from experience, it does not feel good to play a board game alone. You will feel like an absolute loser. I have done this like 3 or 4 times
today.
Never once have I been like, man, I am just, What a grand time I'm having here.
What a cool guy I am.
That being said, I think on the Switch is a little bit more acceptable for me to be playing a single player version of a board game like Pandemic on the bus and just enjoying the puzzle that is that game, you know, and the randomness that is that game.
Right. Yeah. It was unexpected, but very, like, thinking about it, it fits, you know, it fits the medium pretty well.
And you also know how many times I lamented the fact that board game designers didn't end up dropping very interesting board games on the Wii U because they had the unique opportunity to provide hidden information with that. Yep. And so this is like another opportunity of saying, hey, you know what, maybe we really are ready to have really great, robust board game experiences digitally.
Right. What else? Anything else from the direct news here?
Lots of Final Fantasies are coming out.
how let's rank the Final Fantasies that they announced.
Okay. From worst to best here.
Well, to how likely you are to play them.
From okay.
So starting with the should we start with the most likely or least likely?
I think we should start with least likely.
Okay, least likely to play. Here we go.
Final Fantasy 15 Pocket Edition HD.
I would that with a bullet for sure.
Out and now forgotten.
Yeah. Now I have already purged that from my mind. You're right. So straight up, I don't even know what that is. I'm assuming it's some sort of free to play version of Final Fantasy.
15. I don't know, like just the story bits, but with chibi characters. I don't know. World of Final Fantasy Maxima.
Don't know what that is either.
Nope. Mm-mm. Let's see. Final Fantasy 12, the Zodiac Age?
Isn't that the MMO?
Final Fantasy 12 MMO?
Wait, which one's the MMO? Is that 14?
That's 14, yeah.
Oh, so 12 is just a mainline Final Fantasy game.
Isn't it?
Anything after Final Fantasy 10 gets very hazy in my mind.
Yeah.
Because there's just a lot of buckles.
That's that's true. That's very, very true. Final Fantasy X and X2, I'm probably not going to replay those games.
No. I've never played X2. I'd be interested to see, just to see that game, I guess.
It's honestly not that bad. It's pretty fun, but it's just...
That's the one where you have to change clothes to change jobs, right?
Yeah. Hmm. But it's a lot of time.
Okay. Pop stars, all that stuff.
Let's see. Crystal Chronicles.
Do you ever play Crystal Chronicles?
No, but I think the Switch could bring that back.
Yeah.
Because if I recall correctly, there were some online multiplayer components to Crystal Chronicles or local multiplayer or something that like didn't work entirely well.
There were, I know that was one of the GBA game link things, I believe.
Yeah, but I don't think, there's no way that I could have made that work. Whereas now on the Switch, maybe it's more possible with local or,
yeah, you know, or that could be true.
Online.
Yeah.
I will definitely play Final Fantasy VII.
I'll definitely start Final Fantasy VII and beat that first boss, and I'll be like, yeah, this is a good game, and then never play it again.
Final Fantasy IX, I would actually replay on the Switch. I think that's probably the most likely game for me to
play. I love Final Fantasy IX. Yeah, I feel like it was kind of the weird third one compared to Final Fantasy VIII and VII, but
it's also not going to be competing against the remaster of VII, so there's no concern there.
Oh man, if that remasters, that so-called remaster, yeah, exists so-called somewhere. Remaster.
I am actually bummed that Final Fantasy VIII is not here, because it is one of my favorite Final Fantasies. And
it was highly conspicuous. Like, what's the deal with that?
I don't know, dude. I think like me and maybe five other people really like that game, and that's it.
Why isn't Squall in Super Smash Bros.? Cloud made it.
He's just too edgy and emo, dude. He's always just sad about how his parents don't love him, and he grew up in a boarding school.
You could fucking hang out with Star Wolf and the other emo characters in Smash.
I'm all for it.
You ever played any of the Chocobo's Dungeon games?
Chocobo Mystery Dungeon? No.
Yeah.
No.
Now that I've grown to really enjoy roguelikes, I might be interested in trying that. Because they're more traditional roguelike dungeon crawlers, you know?
Yeah, with Chocobos?
Yeah, with Chocobos. Everyone's favorite character.
Yeah. I mean, you play it. Let me know how it is. Maybe I'll try it.
Oh, no, I'm lost in the Chocobo Dungeon. Yeah, that's just a really large list of Final Fantasy games.
Yep, yeah. So all of that and then a lot more for the Nintendo Direct.
Did we talk about Animal Crossing already?
We did a little bit, yeah. I will play it. The first Animal Crossing either of us will play.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because I feel like Animal Crossing is a weird relic of... You know, when the first Animal Crossing came out, the idea of a persistent game was still relatively novel.
Yeah, outside of Seaman.
Yeah, exactly. It was basically a gimmick. And now because games exist on our mobile phones, the idea of a persistent game is a lot less crazy.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering how a new Animal Crossing on a Nintendo mobile system in 2019 will address that, if at all.
Can I tell you my main reason I'm a little bit hesitant to play Animal Crossing?
Because it's too much like real life and you'll just be doing chores and paying a mortgage. Well,
that's also true. It's that the Venn diagram of Animal Crossing fans covers a lot of the same Venn diagram that covers Kingdom Hearts fans.
Oh, wow. That's a good call.
So, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm already writing off that community without any knowledge about why they love Kingdom Hearts.
Shit, that's a Smash Brothers crossover in the making.
Actually, shit, that's a good point, dude. Goofy, Kingdom Hearts? Goofy and Smash?
Goofy and Sora?
You finally came up with one way I would not buy and play Smash Brothers.
You've done it.
You did it.
I'm boycotting it. Whoa. I see one Keyblade in that fucking game, I'm burning it.
Dude, I mean, I will allow a Kingdom Hearts character. I will not allow either any Disney character or any Final Fantasy character wielding a Keyblade. That's too far.
If you see Cloud wielding a Keyblade, it's immediately delete the game.
Immediately. You will have crossed the line. I will unsubscribe from your family plan. Done.
Yeah, it's cool. It's exciting seeing this stuff, especially the more unorthodox stuff, the game, the board game stuff, some of the, you know, the weirder remakes like Katamari coming out. Like the more I think about it, the more I'm starting to agree with your kind of theory that Nintendo is still acting hungry.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And it's a good place to be because they're making interesting moves.
Yeah, stay hungry, Nintendo.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we will leave it there for this week. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our website. You can come on by and let us know why you love Lego DC Supervillains coming out on the Switch later this year.
Oh, fuck. A Lego person in Smash Brothers.
Dude, I mean, reason number two. Keep it up, Scott. Cancel my pre-order if you keep up
like
this.
How can I ruin Smash Brothers?
Do us a favor. Leave us a review, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you happen to find your podcast. We are probably there.
Cool. All right. Until next week, everyone, thank you so much for listening.
Ciao.